I am here at the Northwest Flower and Garden Show in Seattle, Washington, and I'm here sitting with Nan Sturman, who I am a big fan with, and I met her last year at the San Francisco Flower and Garden Show. Wonderful speaker. We're going to sit here and we're going to talk to her today about seed starting. It's a topic that if you're new to gardening, or even if you're not new to gardening, but you're new to starting your garden from seed, it can be somewhat of an overwhelming task. But Nan does a great job at breaking it down, providing you the confidence in, you know, basically get over that hump of just do it, okay? You're going to fail. It's okay. Just try it again. So, Nan, if you wouldn't mind just going real quickly some of your successful tips of seed propagation and plant propagation.
Okay, well, that could take me 2 hours, but I won't do that. Some of the successful tips. Well, one thing, make sure you start with sterilized pots and labels, because one of the things that kills seedlings most often is fungus, things you can't see, little bacteria, little fungus in the soil and in the air that lands on the soil and attacks the plants. So you want to take the pots you're going to use, whatever you use for a pot. You could use a yogurt container. You can use takeout dishes. You can use pots that have been used for something else. Soak them in a mixture of 10% bleach and 90% water. So nine parts water, one part bleach. Okay. And soak them for about an hour. You know, wash them off, get the grit off and stuff. It doesn't have to be perfectly clean, but clean them off as best you can. Soak them for about 20 minutes to an hour, anything around there, and then dry them. While you're at it, toss in your old plant labels. You know, you can reuse those plastic plant labels. You can either erase what's on or use the backside.
That's right. That's what you said. It's right? Blank on the back.
It's blank on the back. So toss them into the solution as well. Let them soak so they're all clean. And you can sterilize whatever bin you're going to mix your seed starting mix with, water or whatever. Just keep it as clean as you can. You don't have to be in a laboratory, but try to keep it as clean as you can. That's a really good place to start.
Yeah, and what about the soil mix? Soil
mix, really important. This isn't a time to use dirt from the backyard, and it's not time to use your wonderful homemade compost. Because that's not what these seedlings need. What they need is what they call a sterile seed starting mix. It's not really sterile, but it's very, very finely milled so that this little stems and roots and whatever have a really easy time pushing through the soil. And not only is it finely milled, but it's pasteurized. So a lot of those nasty fungi and bacteria and things that would attack it are killed in the process. So again, you're starting with fresh, clean seed mix, and you're starting with clean pots. And as long as you wash your hands, you're pretty much along the way.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, a lot of having this success in a garden in the beds outside is having proper soil and, you know, making the conditions right for the plant. It kind of, you know, this is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Starting out right.
And when the seedlings are small, they don't have much, I guess you would say, in the way of immunity. You're kind of like a person, you know, a little baby. You're going to take much better care about washing your hands and, you know, taking care of them, making sure they don't get germs than you or me. You know, that's just what happens.
Yeah. And so in damping off is... Big problem. I know at least anybody who's tried to start anything from seed has had this issue. You brought up something, and it may be very common knowledge, but I had never heard it before.
Yeah,
what's your secret?
Okay, well, let's talk about what damping off is first, okay?
Yes.
All right, so you start your seeds, and they sprout. And you see these little green things. You go, it worked, right? And they start elongating. They get 3 inches tall, 2 inches tall, 4 inches tall, whatever it is. And then one day, you go outside, and the stem looks like it was folded in half. I mean, it just flopped over. And there's nothing around. It wasn't a bug. You don't know what it is. It's just, boom, it's gone. And it's really frustrating. That's what we call damping off.
And once it does that...
It's gone. You have to start over again.
Yeah.
So the reason that happens is that there's a fungus that either comes in the soil or it's in the air. I don't exactly know where it comes from. But when you have that wet soil surface, the fungus proliferates. The numbers start increasing, and their favorite food is seedlings. And that's what's happened. This is one of the reasons we want things to be clean to start with. But this stuff is ubiquitous. You can't avoid it. So the thing you do is after you put your seeds in the seedling mix, in the seed starting mix, and you cover them up however deep you need to, depending on the size of the seed, you top it off with a thin layer of either very fine gravel, they call gravel grit. I think it's number one gravel, maybe a different number, but it's really, really tiny. They also feed it to chickens. Don't ask me. I guess to help them digest their food. Right. There's some gravel grit that comes with the oyster shells. You don't want that because it's got all kinds
of
calcium.
Oyster shells.
No, just the gravel grit. Little tiny gravel. It's about the size of aquarium gravel. You know, the stuff you put on the bottom of granite. The granite grit is granite, so it's not light.
Okay.
You can use that. You can use construction sand, not playground sand, but a construction sand, which is also really finely ground rock. Or you can use perlite, that white kind of like styrofoamy stuff.
Right, where people mostly are used to putting it and mixing it in soil.
Right, exactly. So you're just going to top
it.
Yeah, so you just want maybe a quarter inch layer of one of those three on top to cover all the soil. What happens then is that if those fungal spores land on the surface, they're landing on something that's totally inert and cannot support them. It's dry. It has no organic, you know, material in it, so they can't get any nutrition from it, and they just won't develop. So that takes care of 90% of making the number up. You know, it just improves your success rate hugely. If you still get damping off, what you can do is, and chances are, you know, very small, but you might. What you can do is grab that bottle of powdered cinnamon out of the kitchen cabinet, sprinkle it over the surface of the pot or the container where you started your seeds, just like powdered sugar, like you're sprinkling the powdered sugar, and that is an antifungal, and it'll help protect your seedlings from the damping off.
As well as smell nice.
Yes, it smells lovely.
Ooh, wonderful. Yes. I like that idea.
Yeah.
That is such a wonderful best practice tip. Other than damping off, though, Nan, is there any other downside to starting seeds in your home that people should be aware of?
Downside. The downside would be that if you get really overly enthusiastic, you may end up with 100 more plants than you have room for, and then you got to figure out what to do with them. I can't think of much. I mean, there's, in terms of dangers, well, there's always the danger. I mean, if you decide to transplant your plants and you grab them by the stem and squeeze a little hard, you can damage the stem and then the plant's gone. As I said this morning in my talk,
that's right.
Plants
grab
only
the
have
leaves.
One grab the leaves because plants have one stem, but they have lots of leaves. And if you happen to tear a leaf, no big deal. But if you destroy the stem, it's a goner.
Yep. Start over.
So, you know, you just have to be careful about how you're handling things.
And you bring up another issue that's really tough for people who like to grow from seeds, is killing the little seedlings.
Oh, no. Planticide.
Planticide, that's what you call it.
Planticide. Okay. We always start more seeds than we ultimately need because you want to maximize the possibility that you're going to end up with the plants you want. So if I need 6 plants, I'm going to start 20 seeds. Okay? Just so I start many more because I know I'm going to lose some. So in a container, like if I'm using a recycled 6-pack, okay, and I'm putting seeds into each of the individual cells, there's 6 cells in a 6-pack, okay,
right.
Cleaned it off, got my seed mix wet, put the seed mix in, the little seed potting soil, put my seeds in, I'm putting 3 seeds in each cell, laying them out like a triangle, because I don't want them right stacked on top of each other.
Right, so then they're like...
Yeah,
they'll grow in.
Yeah, that won't work. That won't work. It'll just be a mess.
Yeah.
So I'm going to look at the area and visually decide where the two corners are and where the fulcrum points. So we have three points. I'm going to put in 3 seeds, cover them with soil, whatever. And let's assume all 3 sprout.
Okay.
Congratulations. 3 of them sprouted. In every cell, you've got 18 little plants, but
you're so excited.
Right. But you only want 1 per cell.
Right.
So what you do is when the little seedlings develop the first set of leaves are what they call the seed leaves. Those are not true leaves.
Okay.
The second set of leaves are the true leaves, and they look like the leaves that the plant will ultimately have. So when they have either their second set or their second and their third set, so that's usually, you know, the seedling's a couple inches tall, you have to decide which of the 3 seedlings in each cell is the strongest and kill the others.
It's like trying to pick... saying that you have a favorite child over
another. No, it's not.
Okay. No, you're giving us permission.
Yes, you have permission to kill your plants. Not in all situations. Well, actually, you do. I think trial and error is a wonderful thing. But so what you want to do is this is thinning. Essentially, this is thinning.
Okay.
All right? If you were doing the ground, you'd spread your seeds out and you'd thin eventually anyway. So we're thinning. But instead of pulling out the unwanted seedlings, if you do that, you're going to potentially disrupt the roots of the one you want to keep. That's not good. So I suggest you get one of those little fingernail scissors, the baby fingernail scissors.
Yes.
They have little rounded edges instead of sharp edges. And you just carefully snip each, the two unwanted ones out of each cell using that little scissors. If it's like lettuce or greens, just pop it in your mouth. Because
there you go.
Why wouldn't you?
It's just
a sprout. It's sprouted seeds, right?
And sprouts are good.
Sprouts are good. It's microgreens.
Yeah, that's the correct term.
It's microgreens. Yes, you pay a lot of that for that.
If you love the story, you will. You will pay a lot for that.
Yeah. So that's planticide, and that's okay. Yeah. That's legal planticide.
Legal planticide. I was watching the people in the audience when you were talking about that, and that was hard.
Yeah, it's always hard.
But,
it's the hardest thing to do. But you know what? If you don't do it, those three little seedlings will all suffer. So you're putting two out of their misery, and the third one will then thrive.
There. That makes sense.
Okay.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
So you were also talking today about, somebody was asking you about the Jiffy Peep Pucks or whatever those things are called.
Yeah.
I liked what you said, because the less I have to, like, transplant, you know, because not everything transplants very well, right? You said put it in a container in a size that, will you explain it?
Okay, well, those are two different things.
Okay.
Someone asked me if I like the fiber pots, like the Jiffy pots.
Okay.
And I don't generally use those because, I mean, the idea is that the pots themselves biodegrade, and so you can plant directly into the soil. And I don't use those because I find when I do use them, that fiber is so porous. Not porous. All the water wicks out. It just totally dries out. It's really hard to keep your little plants, your little seedlings, wet enough. The soil dries out, etc. And when you plant them in the ground, you've always got the little rim above the soil, and the water wicks out there, too. So they don't work all that well.
Okay.
Unless you're going to tear them off, and you don't want to go there. So, and a lot of people... Okay, so that's one thing. Those are the fiber pots.
Okay.
The other thing is, a lot of people will take a very small container and put all the seeds from one envelope into that container, start them all real close together, and then tweeze them apart and transplant them to a small pot, and then move them up to a bigger pot, move them up to a bigger pot. And it's that transition, going from the little tiny seedling into the small pot, and then taking out of that and putting in the bigger pot, et cetera, that's where I fail. Okay, that's where I have my greatest frustration, and where I almost gave up starting the seed, because I just couldn't keep them alive from step one to step two.
Right.
Okay? So that's why I like using those recycled six-packs or four-packs, the ones with the bigger cells, or a yogurt container, like a little yogurt container, poke holes in the bottom, and just start, like, if you're going to do tomatoes, three seeds in one of those, or if you're going to do, like, cucumbers, one seed, because those have enough volume of soil to support the seedling until it's big enough to literally put into the ground.
Bingo.
You don't have to move them into different pots. You just want to grow it in that amount of soil. They'll grow big enough to be able to transplant outside.
Brilliant. Just brilliant, Miss Nan Sturman.
Or lazy.
Hey, you know,
or just busy.
That's busy people. I know, that's like the today's gardener.
Yeah, absolutely, we're all busy, and the more tips, the more things you can learn to be really good at doing it efficiently. I mean, that's really the goal, is doing it efficiently and well.
Yep. Now, you gave us some seed packets of Renee seeds.
Yeah.
And before I had met you in San Francisco, I had actually never heard of Renee seeds. Up here in this area, Territorial Seed Company is big.
Yes. And they have great seeds too.
And they do have great seeds. But when I saw the Renee seed packet, and you pointed out all the benefits of that packet, I thought, this is an awesome packet.
It has
so much information.
Yep.
Can you just give some highlights? I don't have one with me, but...
That's okay. Renee Shepherd, who is Renee Shepherd of Renee's Garden Seeds, has been doing this for a long time now. I mean, she is really, really good, and she's really smart. And so Renee decided that, at some point, that she wanted to give her customers the greatest possibility of being successful. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, it's brilliant.
Yep.
But she's also a former professor. So she understands about education and about teaching people and giving the information they need to be successful. So Renee's packets are like little books, each one in and of itself. If you turn it on the side, I'm trying to remember, on the side she lists the months that each type of seed needs to be started, because you can't start all kinds of seeds. They won't start all types at all different times in the year.
Right.
Some are winter, some are spring, some are fall, etc. So time of year to start. How long you should expect it to take for the seed to germinate, that's to sprout. So if it says germination 5 to 7 days and it's been 2 weeks and nothing's happened, start again.
Start
Something's
again.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Okay? if you're going to be going out of town for 2 weeks and it takes 5 days to germinate, maybe wait till you come back. Right?
Okay, I've actually done that.
Yeah, well, we all have. You get so excited about starting that you just want to do it.
I know, and oh, darn it.
Yeah, so. Right. And they came up and they died.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you don't want to do that. She also tells you how close together to plant the seeds. Mm-hmm. And then she tells you how long to expect until you can harvest whatever, if it's lettuce, until you can start picking leaves, or if it's tomatoes, when you can start picking fruit, etc. And the point I made earlier today was that when you look at those numbers for days to harvest, it's not an absolute. It's the number of days in Renee's experience where she gardens.
And she's in where in California?
She's in Santa Cruz.
In Santa Cruz, okay.
And it could be that she, you know, talks to lots of people in different places, but the point is, this is a big world. And, you know, there are so many climates and microclimates that it's never going to be exact. It's not an exact science.
Right.
However, if you have three different seed packets, and one says it's your time, harvest in 80 days, one says harvest in 95 days, and one says harvest in 120 days, you know that the 80 days is an early season, and the 95 days is mid-season, and the 120 days is late season. So if you plant tomatoes from each of those packets, if you start seeds from each of those packets, you'll have a very, very long harvest, because first the early season producers are going to ripen, and then the mid-season producers, and then the late season producers. So it really helps to have an idea of just, you know, relative what the ripening sequence is.
Right, and this is kind of a... I don't know if it happens to all new gardeners, but I thought, okay, Territorial is the only seed packet I can grow from because it's grown right in the Willamette Valley, so that's the only seed type I can grow. But you made a good point today. Renee seeds may be true to Renee's area, but that doesn't mean you can't grow them up here in the Northwest.
No, no.
It might just take longer.
Okay, no, there's a point here that you're missing.
Oh,
okay.
Tell me.
Where does Territorial grow their seeds?
In the Willamette Valley.
Are you sure? They harvest all their seeds in the Willamette Valley?
No.
Seeds come from all over the world. Okay?
Yes.
There are growers of different kinds of seeds all over the world. And they may have some seed that come from the Willamette Valley, but I'd be very surprised if all of their seed comes from the Willamette Valley. It comes from all over the place. But
that's right.
Their job is to select varieties that they think are going to be most successful. And Territory, as I recall, doesn't specify that they're for a particular region, right?
No, they don't.
No, and they sell all over the country.
That's right.
So it's a common misconception. I mean, yes, we all want to buy local. There's no question about it. You want
right.
to support your local people? Yes, absolutely. But it doesn't necessarily follow that because they're in the Willamette Valley, that their seeds are the best seeds for the Willamette Valley. It would be a good thing to ask the guys at Territory. How do they select their seeds, and how do they determine where the seeds come from, just in general terms, and how do they decide which seeds they're going to offer each year?
Thank you for clearing that up.
Sure.
Because if I had that question, I'm sure other people have that question.
Absolutely.
And last question for you.
Yeah.
You're a champ, because I know you've had a busy show,
yeah,
and I really appreciate it.
Three talks in 24
I know,
hours.
And
yeah.
This, folks, you don't know it, but I'm keeping Nan here at 6 o'clock in the evening talking to us about seeds
it's
that she's talked
pleasure.
About all day long.
It's okay. It's my pleasure. Don't worry about it, Jamie. I'm happy to do it.
But one last question.
Go ahead.
What's the difference between a 50-cent seed pack and Renee's seeds that may cost like $3.25 for a pack?
Oh, how long do you have? Okay.
Okay.
It's like anything else in life. Well, a lot of things in life. You get what you pay for. Okay. A 50-cent seed pack. What quality are those seeds? What quality are the seeds that whoever is selling them can afford to sell for 50 cents? What's the viability? Viability means when you plant them, what's the rate, what's the germination rate? If you plant 10 seeds, how many are going to come up? Or how many are going to be old and never come up? You know, seeds have a shelf life. It's longer than you think. It's not just 1 year. It depends on how you store them. You've got to store them somewhere cool and dry, usually, in
right.
order to keep them from year to year. But they have a shelf life. And a lot of times, for example, people who package those really cheap seeds, they buy the old seed from, you know, leftover from 3 or 4 or 5, 10 years ago,
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or they don't have very good quality control. Renee and Territory and the good companies have very good quality control. And they will tell you that they test their seeds rigorously. And that's what you're getting. You're getting excellent selection because they are very careful about the seeds they choose, the varieties they choose. They're doing incredible quality control. And, you know, it's a very small amount to pay for that kind of quality.
So if I, because I'm always like, okay, let's do an analogy here. So the 50 cent, both packets have 10 seeds. 50 cent germination might be 2 seeds out of 10 will germinate.
Yeah.
But then Renee's, maybe 9 out of 10 will germinate.
That's or kind 10 of, out of 10.
10 out
okay,
of 10.
We're just doing hypothetical numbers
hypothetical.
Here. But yes, that's, yes. I mean, that's what you can expect. And the vigor of the plants once they sprout.
Good point.
You know, are they going to be strong plants or weak plants? Are they going to make it? Are they going to produce? Or are they going to just kind of sit there and look at you and say, I don't think so, and curl up and die?
Yeah.
So there's a ton of testing that goes in. There's a ton of quality issues, just like there is in any industry. And, you know, there's no reason to spend $10 on a packet of seeds. That's kind of expensive.
Yeah.
But when you can spend $3 and get 30, 40, 50, 100 seeds, that's a bargain. That's
just
a bargain.
Think, I know. Well, just think about how much money you spend at a grocery store buying those same edibles that you could be growing.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? There's more seeds in a packet than you will use in a year, no matter what.
Yeah. I don't have a garden that big.
Yeah. And a lot of people are doing containers. You know, how many tomatoes can you fit in your garden?
A lot.
Like?
Like 10? 7, 10.
That's a lot?
Well, here's the thing. I can't eat that many, so I don't grow that many. But I'm sure...
Well, that's a whole other discussion. We'll have that discussion at some other point.
Okay.
But if, you know, if you get a packet of 50 seeds and all you need is 7 plants, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good because it means you can use it this year and start your 7, and next year you can start 7, and how many? 7 times you can start that. 7 times 7?
7 times 49. 7. 49.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not bad.
Ooh. That's not bad for 6 o'clock.
I was going to say, for adult brains.
Man, thank you so much for breaking this down for those of us who just need that little extra confidence and a little extra know-how in starting our own seeds.
Okay, so can I tell you this? I have a video on starting seeds.
Tell us.
Okay, if you go to my website, which is plantsoup.com, www.plantsoup.com, and you go to the TV tab, TV radio tab at the top, it will take you to a page that lists, oh, I don't know, 7, 8, 10 video clips, and one of them is starting seeds.
We're going to have that link for you folks on our podcast page. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nan makes starting seeds easy. I'm going to make it easy for you to find Stan. Nan.
Stan. That's
Stan.
Stan.
Nan, Stan, you know.
Whatever it is. It's 6 o'clock.
It is 6 o'clock. You know, it's time for a beer or something. I also want to just say one more resource that you talked about today.
Yeah.
And I'm blanking on the name of the toll-free number, that program that you do.
Oh, the question-answer line. Okay,
the question-answer line. I know it's completely off, like, seed starting, but
no, that's
it's
okay.
Such a great thing you're offering.
Yeah. Okay, so I answer a low-water gardening hotline that is sponsored by the Water Conservation Garden, which is in San Diego County. And I do it Tuesday mornings and Thursday afternoons, West Coast time. And there's an 800 number, which at the moment I can't tell you because I never dial myself. It's
that's
an
right,
866 number, but
we're
it's on
have
my
it on
homepage. It's on my homepage. And I answer all kinds of questions about low water gardening. And people call me with other questions too, but I'm primarily supposed to be answering questions about low water gardening.
Sure.
So it's called the Water Smart Pipeline. And if you want to go, you can access it on your website,
yep.
On my website from the homepage, or the Water Conservation Garden's website, which is thegarden.org.